Welcome back to the Minute to Midnight show. We have Nathan Leal on for a second show. We had Nathan on in the previous show and we found there was still way more to cover, so we've come back to do a second show. It's great to be chatting again, Nathan.
Thanks for having me on, Tony. Yeah, we ran out of time because there's just so many events taking place. There's a lot of things to sift through. And, you know, God's people, for the housewife out there or the man who's just trying to survive, you know, go to work and come home and who doesn't have the time to research and dig themselves, I know it's hard. I know it's not easy, Tony. So for those individuals, the next best thing for them is to depend on someone else or hope that they will be informed by someone they can trust. And unfortunately, Tony, I'm watching a lot of those who are summarizing and giving their Cliff Notes commentary on current events are very skewed and biased, and they're not giving people the truth. And I don't have to go any further than what we just mentioned in the previous program about the orb, where Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia and put his hands on the orb. And I want to invite the people to also go back to listen to part one for that. And it's also my website, Tony. Can I plug it? Can I share it?
Yes, for sure.
Watchmanscry.com. They can go and read that. But there's some more information that I'm going to be coming out with in the next few days. So I just want to encourage everybody to seek the truth, because to just get it from one source, you know, Tony, I say this over and over. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear something, follow up on it and do some fact-checking. If you read an article, you know, that's placed on one of your favorite person's website, and, you know, one article, Tony, doesn't mean anything without proof. Find the proof. If someone says something, well, find out if what they said is true. Are they citing a link? Are they showing a backup of proving their point? Because I'm watching so many watchmen, Tony, they'll say things, but they don't offer any proof.
Yeah.
They don't offer any documentation. And a smart student of information, we all learned how to do the research paper when we were kids, right?
Yes.
I remember in seventh grade, you have to source it, cite it, because if you're not, it's just you talking, and we don't know if you're telling the truth or not. So it's important to find the facts. And I want to share some more facts on this program, Tony, and off the air, you told me there were some things you wanted to share as well. So where are we going to go here?
Yeah, I'll start off with what I wanted to share. It's an article I read a couple of days ago, basically saying that it was saying that the New World Order is losing control, and the Rothschilds have basically said they're losing control. They come out and said, you know, their banking system's out of control, and so therefore they're losing control, and the New World Order's losing control. And the article made it appear like it was something new, but quite frankly, all it did was paraphrase some stuff that Jacob Rothschild had said. I think it was about October last year. In fact, I wrote an article on it back then, you know, October or sometime like that last year. And it made the article, they made it sound like it was something new, and that Rothschilds were saying they were losing control of the New World Order because they were losing control of the banking system. And I'm going, for goodness sake, these people are supposed to be truthers. They should know that 1988 Rothschild owned Economist magazine had a cover that said around about 2018, look for a new world, one world currency. Well, the only way they're going to do that is by crashing the current system and replacing it with a new one. So the New World Order is not losing control. The Rothschilds are not losing control. This is part of their plan. They want to be at the cutting edge of a new financial system when they bring it in. And the clue is around about 2018. Now, whether they're on track to get exactly 2018, only time will tell. But for people to say they're losing control is, I think, just naive. In fact, I don't think they lost control at all. So that's, I mean, I could go on about more about that, but I mean, I'm interested in your thoughts. Are we heading for an economic collapse of some description, Nathan?
Well, you know, it's interesting to ask the question about is the New World Order losing. The narrative that people have been given about the New World Order has partial truth in it, but it also has a lot of red herrings and distractions and purposeful distractions to keep people off the trail. But when we look at the big picture, you see, one thing that's hard for people because they're either busy or some people are just lazy, Tony, and they don't want to study. But let's say that people are just busy and they mean well. When we look at how the narrative is trying to say that the New World Order is losing, you know, Alex Jones says we're beating the New World Order with the globalists. We're beating them. We have them on the run. No, you don't. No, we don't.
If they had them on the run, yeah. Why would Henry Kissinger have been sitting next to Donald Trump in the White House when he made the announcement about Comey's firing? Henry Kissinger is Mr. New World Order.
Exactly. He is. And when we look at, for example, here's an example, Tony, red herrings or distractions. The Western version that we have been told of the New World Order and the banking system has certain players involved. And when we hear that, well, Russia's working on an alternative to the U.S. dollar, the BRICS nations, in other words,
yeah,
you know, the BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. When we look at the BRICS, some people say, well, how does that play into the IMF and the Federal Reserve? What's going on there? And what is up? Well, the puppet masters, Tony, control both sides. And the banking families, the Rothschilds, own the Federal Reserve. The Rothschilds have their surrogates who are intertwined in different parts of these agencies like the World Bank, the IMF, the Federal Reserve, and the chairperson of the Federal Reserve. And then you have politicians who are told what to do. And then the elite have the Bilderberg meeting. And you have all these different groups, but at the very top, you have the Rothschilds. When we go down, it trickles down, we have all the players. Well, Goldman Sachs, we know, is one of the players for the Rothschilds. They are the spokespersons, and they're doing the bidding for the Rothschilds. Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is a hedge fund. They're a bank. They're very large. They're a global powerhouse. And we continually see every administration that comes and goes in the United States has alumni from Goldman Sachs that end up in the White House administration. We saw that for Obama, and we saw it for Tim Geithner, remember him, Hank Paulson? They were Goldman Sachs alumni. And now for Donald Trump, here we go. Goldman Sachs, the chairperson of Goldman Sachs, is in the Trump White House. Well, if Trump wasn't following orders, what is Goldman Sachs doing in the White House? Important question, interesting question. But when we look at Goldman Sachs is also, they operate and they control a lot of things, but they also have a lot of, they're a think tank as well, and they have it mapped out. When we go to 2001, there was an individual who worked for Goldman Sachs. His name is Jim O'Neill, and he was the chairman of Goldman Sachs Asset Management. In 2001, he published a paper called BRICS. It was about the BRICS.
Wow.
You know, the BRIC nations, Russia and China.
2001. Okay, so that's miles ahead of time.
If people are taking notes, write that down, folks. Jim O'Neill, N-E-I-L-L, O'Neill. He invented the BRICS, and he worked for Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is a pawn of the Rothschilds. So Goldman Sachs invented the BRICS, but Goldman Sachs works for the Rothschilds, so the Rothschilds invented the BRICS. So it's two groups playing against one another. You have the IMF versus the BRICS and the West versus the East. It's all a charade, Tony. It is all, it's theater. It's the wrestling, you know, the villain versus the good guy. So when people hear that they have the New World Order on their run, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear someone say that, I would, if you could have access to them, prove it. Prove that you have them on the run. And show me how you can say that. Because, Tony, according to the Bible, this is a one, it's fluid and it's linear and it's going in one direction, and that's toward the beast rising up and getting stronger and stronger. It doesn't go backwards. It doesn't retreat. It doesn't go away. It doesn't have a reprieve. It doesn't go on vacation or slumber or hibernate. It's always moving to get stronger. And if people will remember this, the beast rises from the sea. It doesn't go backwards. Satan knows his time is short. There's no backwards. So The Rothschilds are not losing.
Yeah.
I know this is a long way to explain this, but they're not losing. So I just wanted to make that comment. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, when Tony shares these things to warn, the reason, Tony, that you exist and the reason that I exist is because we have a job to do and we have to tell the people to maintain their vigilance. There's no retreating in their vigilance, is there?
No.
We don't get to take a vacation.
No, we don't. And yet so many people have. Because when Donald Trump was elected and Hillary was not elected, they went back to sleep, many of them.
They did. And now here we are, and when there's a report, you know, I was saying this in the previous part one, in the previous segment, Donald Trump campaigned with certain promises, and the promises that he campaigned were talking points, and they were what people lived and breathed. The middle class of America, you know, the heartland, the conservatives loved what he had to say. And so he came up with a laundry list of certain things. You know, he's going to appoint a conservative judge. He's going to pull out of the climate accord. He's going to repeal the Johnson Amendment for the nonprofit status of churches. Those things sound good. He's going to repeal abortion, Obamacare. Those things sound good, Tony, but are they really happening? And if they do happen, will they happen and actually bring an advantage to the misery that has been created or supposedly drawn out or painted? Because we have, for example, the Johnson Amendment is the nonprofit status for churches in America. They can choose to register as a nonprofit 501 church. And so on their taxes, they don't have to pay taxes on their income. And the Johnson Amendment was started in the late 50s by Johnson. And what it said was churches who have nonprofit status are not allowed to endorse certain candidates because they're using their status for political gain for a candidate. It's not right, so you can't do it. So during the Trump campaign, we heard that, well, because of the 501 status, churches are handicapped and muzzled and they can't share the gospel. It turned into churches can't share the gospel, but I don't remember when I was, you know, I got saved in 1980 in an old-fashioned Pentecostal church in Texas, Assembly of God Church.
Yep.
And we had church, Tony. God showed up, and the pastor preached fire and brimstone, and he talked about hell, and he talked about heaven, and getting right with God, and salvation, and repentance. I heard that, and for years I heard that. And churches are free to share the gospel. The churches are not powerless right now because of the 501. So when I heard some people tell Mark Taylor guy that gave the prophecy, he said that the 501 has made the church powerless. And I'm thinking, no, it hasn't. The reason the church is powerless is because they're not praying. The reason they're powerless is because the pastor lost sight of the message of the gospel, of the power of the resurrection. To know Jesus Christ and him crucified is what Paul said. That's the message. Showing them who Jesus is with signs and wonders, with prayer, with the anointing, with the presence of God, with worship where people's lives are changed and touched. The 501 status does not stop any of that, ladies and gentlemen. So if you've been told that a church is 501, so they're the devil, that's going to an extreme that's just absurd, Tony, because I myself was spirit-filled. I received tongues as a 17-year-old youth at a church that had 501, but God showed up. And God can show up in a church with 501. He can show up in Walmart. He can show up in the parking lot of any shopping mall. He can show up in a prison. He can show up in a dungeon or in a tunnel or in an airplane or at the top of, you know, David tells us this. We can't hide from God. Wherever we go, he is there. God is everywhere, and he will find the lost soul, the sin-sick person who needs him. So the 501 church is not the problem. I've digressed. But I'm making a point here, Tony. We're giving this narrative that then it was given to Donald Trump, that Donald Trump's going to then save the church and turn the church around and give us our power back because he's going to repeal the Johnson Amendment. If Donald Trump, by the way, if this thing takes place, here's what we're going to have happen, Tony. And I haven't heard anyone else talk about this, but if we go back to the corruption of 1492, Spain, where the Catholic Church told the king, to get rid of all the Jews and make them leave.
Yeah.
And he convinced them to send them away. And a lot of the Jews, if they were going to stay, needed to convert to Catholicism or they'd be burned at the stake. And the Inquisition started. Remember that?
Yep.
So the church was influenced by politics. The marriage was together. If the Johnson Amendment is repealed and it's gone, here's what we're going to have. We're going to have corrupt politicians going to churches and give the preacher a handshake, and he's going to put a check in the preacher's hand for $100,000 and say, you know, let us come and campaign at your church, and let's turn your people, your parishioners, into our phone answer. We'll put a boiler room in your gym, the church gym, and we'll answer phones, and we can send out all these get out the vote at the church. So that might sound good to some people, you know, because they can endorse a candidate. But ladies and gentlemen, think about this. It's not just going to be for that libertarian Christian or the Constitution Party Christian that wants to use the church to campaign. We're talking Green Party people. We're talking parties, the Democratic Party candidates that want to spread gay marriage and transgender bathroom issues. They're going to go to churches who are liberal and give the transgender priest a check for a lot of money, and that church is going to become a campaign headquarters for liberal causes, the liberal campaign. So it can work against us. It will work against the conservative cause. This is just because it goes away does not mean everything's going to be great and turned around. We're going to see corruption. We're going to see pastors who will be bought and paid for by candidates. For the entire time the candidate wins, they will regularly come and use the church as their bully pulpit to spread their political message. So the Johnson Amendment, that's the other side. And that part, Tony, all through history in the 20th century, go to Europe and go to all these different countries where the church and the political system were married to one another. And we saw corruption, horrible corruption. So that's what's going to come to America when the Johnson Amendment, which limited political campaigning, is done away with. We're going to see corruption come into churches by politicians. So is that really a great thing? See, folks, this is the other side of the issue. This is the side that you're not hearing. This is the side that's dangerous. And by the way, Tony, I mentioned this in the first segment. Revelation 13 says the church, the false prophet, will be with the beast, work together. The politics and religious beasts, both of them, will work together to stampede the world with evil and oppression. So I'm bringing up a point of how in America, that's going to play right into Bible prophecy. So food for thought. Now,
That is really interesting. And is a concern and for things for people to think about. Now, one of the things that you have put in your article, which I found really interesting, I'm glad you've addressed it, is the Paris climate change deal and Donald Trump pulling the US out of that. Because when that was announced, I was thinking, how do I, you know, process this? Because that seems like a good thing that he pulled the US out of that, you know, for most of us. Think, well, that whole climate change thing is a sham and it's being used to promote the New World Order and the One World Government and to tax it, basically. So when Donald Trump said that they would pull the US out of it, it seems like a good thing. And apparently Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner didn't agree with Donald Trump doing that and they didn't attend. So I was trying to process this in my own mind and thinking something doesn't quite add up here. I'm wondering what it is. And you've addressed it in your article, so I'll let you take it over from there.
Well, it's interesting you brought up Ivanka and Jared, the two unelected family members, where we see nepotism at its worst. You know, it says in Isaiah, the country under judgment is cursed and ruled by children. And here we see the Trump children having daddy's ear to influence a lot of major policies in America and with Trump's decisions. And Ivanka and Jared are liberal at their core. They're progressive. They are very liberal. And they have daddy's ear. And, you know, this is a side issue, Tony. But if Trump is the savior and he's going to turn America into gold and the church into gold and Washington's going to be saved and the swamp's going to be drained. If all these things are this great, But then his daughter's Ivanka and his son's Jared, who attend a Kabbalah synagogue. And, you know, we could do a whole show on Kabbalah, right, Tony?
Yeah.
But yeah. They celebrated, it was from the last day of May 31st to June the 1st, Shavuot, the feast. They celebrated that. She celebrated that with Jared. And then, you know, I guess you're not supposed to work when you attend. You're supposed to turn off your phone. So she turned off her phone and didn't tweet during Shavuot. But then after Shavuot was over on June 1st, June 1st is also Gay Pride Month in America. Well, when she turned her phone back on, she tweeted, one of the first things she tweeted was, "I am proud to support to my LGBTQ friends and to LGBTQ Americans who have made immense contributions to our society and economy." So she showed her support on the first, but the tweet before that one, Tony, said, "Logging back on after Shavuot, wishing everyone a joyful Gay Pride 2017. And this month, we celebrate and honor the LGBT community." So that was her first thing after the holy day. Now, wow, what a oxymoron. There's no words for that one, Tony. But but as far as the climate change deal, where a lot of people celebrate and said he pulled out. Okay, Tony, when Trump says it and tweets it, this is the way that I now approach what he says and tweets. And this might sound negative, and if people get offended, well, it's working for me, okay, Tony? If he tweets it and he says it, that means it's not true. Or he's embellishing a portion of it. So when he said he doesn't believe in climate change, well, in 2009, he contributed with his three children, Ivanka Jr. and Eric, they contributed to an ad that appeared in the New York Times asking Obama to approve the conference in Copenhagen in 2009. Trump was for the Copenhagen. Remember that?
Yeah.
Carbon caps on the refineries and the smokestacks and all that mess that scared a lot of people back then, 2009. Trump was promoting for it. He was for it. That's just a few years ago. From then to now, he's Trump the Republican, and what he did was recreate himself, and he took upon himself adornments of the things that he's supposed to believe in, but he really doesn't. It's all theater, ladies and gentlemen. When he pulled out of the climate, the Paris Accord, now watch this, Tony. He pulled out of it. However, this is the part that people are not seeing, and it's amazing that they're not seeing this. If you're taking notes, ladies and gentlemen, write this down and Google it. You know, you can do a search for it. The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. That was the big one that the United States joined, and it was through, in the United States, the Senate approved it. It was the actual House, the Senate, had to be involved in this to approve it, and the United States joined. From 1992 and on, we have had new additions to it and amendments and addendums to the 1992 Convention on Climate Change, the framework. And then we've had the Kyoto Treaty and we've had others. But the Paris Accord is just one of the amendments or addendums or footnotes to what I'm talking about right now, the United States Framework Convention on Climate Change. The United States is part of that. And when Trump pulled out of Paris, people thought that meant he pulled out of climate change entirely. He did not, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump hired or tapped or recruited his administrator for the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. His name is Scott Pruitt. You can write his name down, Scott Pruitt, Pruitt. That's the EPA guy. When Donald Trump was going to pull out of Paris, he used Scott Pruitt to draw up the paperwork to do it. But he told Pruitt to stay in the big framework that I just mentioned, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. He told Pruitt, let's stay in that. The United States is not leaving that. So the Paris thing is theater. And by the way, the Paris Accord has no teeth. There's no way to monitor any of the countries. It's all voluntary. Entirely. So there was no loss of sovereignty. It was all just the EPA or of each country, whatever their protection agency, environmental counterpart is, would just file a report and turn it in. But there was no inspectors or global police force from the UN that's going to go inspect if each nation was following. Paris didn't have that in it. So when Donald Trump pulled out, he was pulling out of something without teeth. And also, here's the other thing, Tony. There is a clause in the Paris Accord that if a country wants to pull out, it takes 4 years to do it from the time that they announced. So the earliest we can be out is 2020, or actually from the time it was agreed on, 2016. So 4 years from 2016 is 2020, and by then we'll have a new president. So the new president can say, oh, changed my mind, we're not leaving. Had you guys full, didn't you? I had you going for a while. So this thing is not as dramatic as it looks.
Right.
And it's not a black eye for Agenda 21, or now it's Agenda 30, Agenda 40, Agenda 50. It is not a black eye for the climate change people. It is not, ladies and gentlemen. So when the conservative media started to celebrate immediately, and my colleagues out there, Tony, started putting out YouTube videos, hey, yay, Trump is making America great. We're out of it. No, ladies and gentlemen. We are not out of climate change. So if you were to research this, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, we're still in it, Tony.
That is interesting, yes. Because I was one of the ones that was, going, well, that seems like a good thing that Donald Trump has done, you know. I question so many things he does do, and I thought that, well, it seemed like something good, but yeah, you've sort of put it into perspective here.
Exactly. And so, Tony, if we were to look at someone whose role was to be a role model shill, pretender, poster boy, you know, a spy, basically, you know, when America hires spies, or Britain does, or your country, or any country hires a spy, and the spy goes and does their job, they do a pretty good job to appear that they are what they seem, don't they? You don't know they're a spy,
yeah,
when they're doing their job, right?
Yeah.
You don't. When you have those drug narcotics officers who go undercover, they're supposed to blend in and look like what they're doing. That's their job. So at the lowest levels of local law enforcement, we have undercover. And then when you get into national agencies, we have spying, and then everything in between. But you have individuals whose job is to pretend. How hard is it, or why is it so unbelievable to believe that the New World Order, which is fueled by Satan, would have or not have a president who is tricking everybody? That's what Donald Trump is doing. He's the man behind the curtain has given Donald Trump a mask to wear, and that's what he does. That's his job. So when he does these little victories for the conservatives, that's quid pro quo. You know, this for that, something for something. He's offering an exchange for his support base. He's giving them something. And then he'll go off and do something for the New World Order. And then he'll come back and throw a bone to the support base. And then he'll go do something for the New World Order. So when he went to Saudi Arabia and put his hand on that glowing orb, by the way, Tony, the listeners can go to the previous segment to hear all about that, because that's a new arm of the NSA in the Middle East. It's going to be used for terrorism to persecute Christians. That thing is evil. It's horrible. And they can go hear about it. And I also wrote an article about it on my website. It's the Trump Chronicles Part 6. But when Trump went to Saudi Arabia and endorsed a new Hydra appendage that's going to spy on that section of the world, that was an advancement for the New World Order. And then immediately after that, he pulled out of Paris. So he does it. We have a pattern going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Tony, if we were to step back and look at the pattern, it's back and forth regularly. He does something for his support base, and then he's doing something that is for the New World Order. And
does look like a pattern. To keep, he throws a bone, like you say, to keep his support base happy and the people that are even the truthers looking for changes in these things. They go, oh, he's done something that seems to be against the New World Order, so he must not be one of them. But yeah, like you say, well, that's a very clever deception. You give a little bit, like the one step forward and two step backwards kind of things, you know. You take two big chunks away and you give one little one back.
Exactly. So, Tony, if we're going to be vigilant Christians, and ladies and gentlemen, I say this often, and it's very difficult, Tony. I understand because people want hope. They're tired. They have doom fatigue. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
They have, the red pill. I've been on the red pill for so long. I want the blue pill. I just want to go back to sleep and eat a steak and not worry. Well, that's when sudden destruction comes. Jesus said so, when they're saying peace and safety. So we are watching this thing in real time. And, you know, it is okay to take breaks at times. It's okay to take a sabbatical from some of the doom information. But don't go to sleep, ladies and gentlemen. Go get recharged with God. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get full of the Word. But don't go to sleep. But vigilance, Tony, consists, and this is what I have to say, it consists of listening to the truth and seeking out the truth and making sure what people are listening to can be proven. And I said this in the previous segment. I have to say it regularly. Ladies and gentlemen, fact check what I'm telling you. Look it up. Because everything, Tony, I have confidence. It's true. I've seen the white papers. I've seen the documents. I've seen the citations, the reports. I've seen the actual video of them saying things, you know, Trump saying things and these things taking place. I've seen all the evidence before my eyes, and then I present it. But what's amazing is I will see all this conglomeration, this information, aggregate total of information, and then I'll hear a colleague or a watchman cherry pick one portion and turn the narrative into something completely opposite to keep people contained or asleep. And that is not right, because we're going to be held accountable. And ladies and gentlemen, even though it goes against the desire that you may have for everything to be great, you know, because someone gave a prophecy, you prove it out yourself. Test the spirits and find the proof. Tony, when I put out an article, I put links and prove everything I say. I don't just make stuff up. Right now, we're watching this hearing with the FBI director, James Comey. He's being questioned. And there's a he said against Donald Trump. And I'm watching this in real time, just today. I'm watching people take some of the words of Comey, and they're cherry-picking them, by the way, because he spoke for hours. But they're cherry-picking one or two words, and then they're concluding that Comey's a liar, and he made everything up, and Donald Trump's innocent, and Donald Trump didn't do anything wrong, and he had no collusion with Russia, and it's all true, and Donald Trump's the good guy. And why can't anybody else see it? And that is a continuation of the lie, Tony. It's a continuation. I have so much proof and documented evidence that during the campaign, Donald Trump had his team, family members, Jared Kushner, and some of his associates, Paul Manafort, and some of those generals. There was about five or six different individuals who colluded with Russia. And they colluded with Russia's intelligence agency. They colluded with Russia's oligarchs, some of the billionaires of Russia. And they made backroom deals of what they wanted in a post-election presidency under Donald Trump. They met with the Russians. There is documented evidence of all of this. But in the Trumpian support, Trump is bringing reprieve world of the Watchman community, what God's people are being told is, no, Trump didn't do any of that. He's innocent. Comey's a big fat liar. But you know what, Tony? No, he's not. Trump, the reason Comey took copious notes, and he said this during the hearing, he said he did it because he knew Trump's nature. He knew that Trump's nature was to be an individual who, when you have a meeting with him and you talk and discuss something with him, and then you leave the room, Trump will get on Twitter and recreate reality and say something or quote something that was never said from the meeting. James Comey knew this. He said, I know Trump's nature. He lies. He fabricates reality. He makes stuff up. So I took notes, copious notes, of every conversation that I had with him because he has a habit of lying. Then when Trump fired Comey, Trump's press secretary, Sean Spicer, and some of his administrative cabinet officials and some of his generals, also Flynn and Pence, they all said that that Comey made up everything. They were sharing the narrative that Comey was a bad FBI director, had bad integrity, and he was not fired, though, because he was doing the Russia investigation. They all said that because they were supposed to say it. But then Donald Trump goes on an interview and says through his own lips that he got rid of Comey because Comey was putting pressure on him about the Russia investigation. Trump admitted it on TV. Tony, did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that one.
He admitted it. Yeah, it's on record. He admitted it. But then the Watchmen individuals and these people, these I don't know where their reality is. They're taking Comey's testimony and they're saying Comey's a liar. Trump didn't fire him because of the Russia investigation. Well, I saw Donald Trump say it on video. You can go to YouTube and hear him say it. So to then say Comey's a liar and he wasn't fired because of Russia. By the way, Comey did say, I do know that he fired me because of Russia. But it's not just Comey's word against Trump. Trump actually said it, and it's on film. So what we're watching right now is theater where Comey's just, he's just trying to lay it all on the table, and they're asking him, they said, why should we believe you over Donald Trump? They asked him in the hearings. And he said, here's what's interesting. How do you answer that one, Tony? Why should I believe you, Tony, over the president? Well, here's what Comey said. Look at my body of work through the years. Look at my record. Look at my history. And then you decide. And then look at Donald Trump's history and compare them. Donald Trump has a history of being a pathological liar. So it's a character issue. It's an issue of nature, of his nature.
And the other thing that a lot of people are forgetting to see is that Hillary Clinton would have gotten rid of Comey as well. So, you know, he was a goner whether either Trump or Clinton got in. So, you know, people seem to forget that. They think because Trump got rid of him, that's a good thing, you know, because they like Donald Trump. But they seem to forget the fact that Hillary Clinton would have gotten rid of him as well. And what would they have done with it then?
Exactly. And Tony, I'm not saying that James Comey, the director, is innocent and totally, you know, pristine. I'm not saying that. But the issue is not about his politics or his bias or what he has done in the past. It has to do with right now. Right now on the table is the issue of he was investigating Trump over Russia and he got fired. That's the issue. So when Trump got rid of him because he was investigating the Russia situation, it qualifies for obstruction of justice. There's no other way to spin it. It does qualify. And to show that Trump, you see, if people would actually research themselves, instead of just going to Drudge, that's very biased, ladies and gentlemen, do your own research. Go to Google and type in Trump and Comey and watch what comes up. And then hit news and watch what comes up. And there's a lot of stories and reports that are going to be reporting, in not from a reporter's bias, but just reality of what's taking place in real time. And then you decide. Because when you look at the facts, Tony, the outcome is much different than what people are being fed. When Director Comey said, look at my body of work. In Christian terms, if we were to translate that into Christian terms, you know, that's actually biblical what he said. He said, look at my fruit. Examine the fruit. Because Jesus said the fruit never lies. You will know them by their fruit. They also asked him this. They said, why did you take notes on your memos? Why? And he said, because I know Trump's nature. I know what it's like. So people know Trump. The people that are around him know. They understand. And, you know, for some of the evangelicals who say that he's a Christian, he's innocent, and he's a great guy, well, the people in Washington, all the people that are rubbing shoulders with him and dealing with him, one after the other are coming back saying, this guy is the, let me just, okay, folks are going to get mad for me saying this, Tony, but let me just lay it out. They're saying he's a snake. He's a liar. He's a betrayer. He will throw you under the bus in 2 seconds if he has to, if it means personal gain for himself. So they know, in fact, this is how bad it is. When Donald Trump needed to be represented by counsel, when he needed to hire an attorney, in as the president, just in the last few days, the top five law firms in Washington, D.C., who represent politicians, the big ones, Tony, not one of them wanted to represent Donald Trump. None of them did. So what Trump had to do is he had to end up going back to his Trump Organization lawyer, who's responsible for property acquisition and corporate law and some of those deals for buying real estate. He got that lawyer to represent him as the president.
Though I can see what some people would represent. I could see that some people would come back at you on this and say, yes, but that's because all of Washington is part of the deep state and Donald Trump's an outsider. That's why no one would represent him, and that's why they're all fighting against him and calling him a liar and a snake and all that. It's because he's exposing them. So what would you say to the people that come with that argument?
Well, if someone has their mind made up on something, Tony, you know, deep state, by the way, deep state, what does that mean? When we have the Bilderbergs, who are the billionaires of the world, who own the world, the CEOs of all the corporations, they're the elite. They're the New World Order, the globalists, are the billionaires, the CEOs. So they pull the strings of politicians and tell them what to do. So the elite billionaires who work now in the administration have been recruited as cabinet officials, control politicians. Deep state is a fictitious, it's a fake. You know, in 1984, you had Goldstein, the made-up boogeyman. Deep state is the boogeyman to blame it on. Deep state is the American version of the terrorists. You know, the war on terror. Now it's deep state. So we have this narrative because we need the good guy and then the villain. And since Donald Trump needs to be the good guy with the white hat, the villain is the lying media, the fake news, and deep state. So if someone really believes that narrative, I'm not going to be able to change their mind. But my challenge would be make sure that you can prove it. Because deep state has no face. It's easy to hate someone without a face and to blame someone without a face. But what does that mean, Tony, that term? Who's the face behind deep state? Let's really put a face behind it. If we're really going to blame someone, who are they? Deep state, as he's been, or it has been accused of bringing problems to Donald Trump, is theater. It's a mirage. It's made up. Now, I know there's a shadow government. We know this.
Yeah.
There's an order of secession. There's an order of secession in the United States. We know this, but to attribute that there's this closet or this dark room in some smoke-filled library where these men are chomping down on cigars and, you know, the star chamber, and they're discussing how to bring Trump down. Who are they? And why do they want to bring Trump down when he's doing all these great things, when in actuality and in truth, I am showing and revealing and proving that Trump is accelerating the New World Order way faster than Obama did. He's going to get us into war. He's already bombing several countries. We are already losing troops in several countries. There are probably several covert wars going on even right now as we speak in Qatar. We have that in Yemen and also in Syria.
That's an interesting one, that whole Qatar thing. What do you see is going on there? Are we looking at an excuse to go to war with Iran ultimately?
That's exactly what it is. It's a proxy war with Iran to get it started, because their version of Islam is supported by Iran. And of course, Iran just had a terrorist attack by ISIS. So, and then figure that one out. So there is so much unanswered questions in theater. You know, when 9/11 happened, people immediately went on suspicion. Who stands to gain? Who's behind it? Look at the aftermath. Look at the initial story when the event first happens. Look at the first news reports. And then look at the reports several days later. Compare them. Look at who stands to gain. Look at the players. That's what you do when you're investigating something. But unfortunately, when we're examining Donald Trump, we're not looking at who stands to gain. Or who's the questions that we're supposed to be asking are not being asked right now. But in the meantime, we have the New World Order agenda moving forward. And when I wrote my article about the glowing orb that I talked about in the previous segment, Tony, I stated that the neocon agenda has certain things taking place. But I also placed in that list several predictions. And these are not prophetic. These are just predictions based on how I see things coming together. And some of the things in there that I included was that mercenary contracts are going to be awarded to Blackwater and DynCorp. And the reason that I say that, if we look back a few years ago, there was a television series that was on American TV called Jericho. If you haven't seen that, you can go to Netflix and watch the whole thing. They just had it for 1.5 seasons. But it was very eye-opening and telling about how the New World Order did a false flag attack on America, and they EMP'd America. But it was an inside job to divide America, and then America turned into a corporation that awarded the power to mercenary groups. Mercenary groups took over. And in Jericho series, the director of Homeland Security was the rogue element that took over the country. And he had his players, but the mercenaries played a huge role. And that was a foretelling of what we actually see happening in America's present wars. You know, instead of hiring a lot of soldiers, America is awarding contracts to mercenary groups. And the two biggest groups are Blackwater and DynCorp. And Blackwater is owned by Eric Prince, who is Betsy DeVos's brother. Betsy DeVos is the director of the education secretary. Donald Trump appointed her secretary of education, Betsy DeVos. And her father is the owner of Amway.
Mm.
You know, Amway, the multi-level.
Yeah.
He's a 33-degree Mason, DeVos, the DeVos family. They're billionaires. So Betsy is given a post in Trump's cabinet. Her brother, Eric Prince, owns Blackwater. And during the campaign, Eric Prince was involved with Donald Trump's campaign with his mercenary group, of course. But he also went further than that because Eric Prince met with Russian oligarchs and Russian intelligence. Eric Prince, the owner of Blackwater. This is all documented, Tony. So this shenanigans about saying Trump didn't meet with the Russians. Well, the owner of Blackwater was the proxy for Donald Trump. And what deal did they make? I don't know, but they met. And Eric Prince has been given regular contract awards to his mercenaries to go fight in Iraq and Afghanistan and in other places. And also they were involved when the hurricane went to Baton Rouge, you know, Katrina.
Yeah.
They were involved in that. So mercenary groups are going to be used by Donald Trump because they already hang out. The owner of Blackwater is Trump's buddy. On top of that, we have another mercenary group owner, Stephen Feinstein, who is the owner of he has a hedge fund that loaned Donald Trump money for his tower in Chicago, Cerberus, and he owns DynCorp. So I had stated that I can see in their buddies with Trump as well. So Trump is buddies with these mercenary group owners, and they're involved in his administration. So that's very connect the dots, Tony. The amount of corruption that is taking place in this administration when you have the neocons and the mercenary groups and all these people that, and the bankers and the Goldman Sachs and the Rothschilds, Wilbur Ross is Rothschild alumni. When you have all these individuals who are globalists and they're involved in the organization now, it's easy to see that the neocon agenda is taking place and moving so forward so fast and so smoothly under the approval of the evangelical church. It's insane. So we're going to see false flag events come. We're going to see more. You know, the last time I was on your program, Tony, we had talked about some coming to America and the West. I said you could even have them there or Australia or Europe. And then we, of course, had the Manchester one just occurred. And then now the other one in the London Bridge. So the terrorism is going to increase and they're going to get real creative. That's the other reason we have to be vigilant, so that if perchance a terrorist attack is going to happen in your town, ladies and gentlemen, it's important to be able to hear the Holy Spirit tell you not to go to the event, to give you a flat tire, to stop you, you know, to shut the door. Tony, that's the kind of guidance we need from God in these coming days, because it's going to get dark. And we're not just talking an oppressive type sadness in the air. We're talking life and death, terrorism, shock and awe. Insider type events are going to come, and we need to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit. God's people need to be able to hear, because if we are just listening to the vernacular of, you know, the watchmen that are saying everything is great and Trump's bringing greatness, don't listen to those who criticize Trump, and the people stay asleep, and then they go to that, you know, the Boston bombing, remember, some marathon, you know, they go to a marathon in their town and there's a false flag there because everything's great and they weren't asking God, you know, do I go to the left or to the right, God? Steer me. Jesus, you're my captain. Steer me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the prayer that you need to have for your family. If you're a mother or a father, you have children, ask the Holy Spirit to regularly steer you with vigilance and to warn you and to stop you if harm's going to come to your family because of the days that are in front of us. Tony, it's going to be so dark and so horrible. Can't say that enough. I've seen the burning cities. In fact, I want to draw attention, and I'll make this quick. During the Trump campaign, I had a prophetic dream that the Lord gave me, and I've mentioned it on your program before, where I was in a downtown area of a city, and the cars were all stopped on a one-way street, and then a semi came from behind, tried to go around them, and it jackknifed and crashed, and then all the cars took off and started moving, and they started crashing, and then a framework appeared over me, and the framework was like a bridge, but it was only a steel framework, and it resembled the Eiffel Tower, so it looked like the French ironwork that we see on the Eiffel Tower, and it appeared over me and along the entire length of the street in front of me, and then it started swaying left and right, and then it collapsed, but I ran out, and I got out from under it, and then after that segment of the dream was over, I saw a door in front of me. It was an oak door, and I opened it about 12 inches, and I was sucked through it, and on the other side, I was in this city where all the buildings were white, and they all said Trump's name on the top, Trump, and I call it the Trumpland prophecy. Well, each part of this vision is a historical marker of events that are coming, and the thing that I don't always know the interpretation of everything the Lord shows me. They just happen, or sometimes someone with a gift will help me, so that's my handicap. I God gives me the visions, but I don't always know exactly what they are, but I still share them. In this one, when I saw the framework appear over me, and I mentioned this in my article, and you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and at the very top, there's a little link that says Prophecy, Dreams, and Visions, and you can click that, and it'll say the Trumpland Prophecy and the Divided House, and this is all in there, and I talk about the framework that appeared over me, but the metal looked intricate like what we saw in the Eiffel Tower, so when I shared this prophetic dream, I mentioned that somehow, I don't know how or in what manner, but somehow, because it looked like the Eiffel Tower, I believe this framework is related to Paris, France. And I said that in there, Tony. I didn't know how it was related, though. But I also said this. I said it's an infrastructure that was halfway built because it was the concrete wasn't placed around the metal framework. It was only halfway, and then it collapsed. So I have wondered, and I want to mention this as a warning, because and I'm not sure, Tony. I want to preface this. I am not sure about the timing of this, but I want this to serve as a warning to the listeners. When I saw the framework appear, it was halfway built. It was related to Paris. But I also wondered if it had to do with infrastructure because it was a bridge. Right now, Donald Trump pulled out of the Paris deal just in the last few days, the Paris climate thing. He pulled out of that. So it was in construction, or the framework was in under construction. But in the middle of it, Trump pulls out. So place that on the table. The other thing that's interesting is that Donald Trump, when he went to Saudi Arabia and he met with the Saudi CEO forum of 2017 and his billionaire buddies, and I talk about this in the previous segment, ladies and gentlemen, so go listen to that. But when he placed his hand on the orb, there was also another simultaneous event that was taking place. It was a function of the billionaires, the Bilderberg members of the world went to Saudi Arabia when Trump put his hand on the orb. So it was like a Bilderberg meeting that took place there. And all those billionaires met with the Saudis and they signed a lot of deals worth billions of dollars. One of the individuals who showed up is the owner of Blackstone. His name is Steve Schwarzman. He's a Bilderberg member and he's also a Skull and Bones member. And he signed a deal worth $40 billion with the Saudis to build toll roads in America with Saudi money. And the Saudis are going to own the toll roads. Donald Trump, after that meeting, announced with celebration that he's keeping his campaign promises because he's bringing investment money, which, by the way, is Saudi money, Saudi Arabian money in America. And he also said that he's bringing money to invest in infrastructure, but he didn't explain what it was, but this is what it was. Saudis are going to build toll roads in America, and the Skull and Bones gentleman, Steve Schwarzman of Blackstone, is going to oversee the funding of these infrastructure projects. So instead of Trump fixing the potholes in small town USA and finding the money for that, he's celebrating that he's going to bring Saudi money to build toll roads, which is infrastructure. Now, I could spend time lamenting and telling you why that's just messed up, you know, selling out America on our way to work to Saudis. And, you know, you have to stick your money in to get to work. Well, that's infrastructure money, though. So going back to my prophetic dream, I have wondered if this infrastructure that I saw is also going to have to do with roads or the funding of roads. And does it mean that while the infrastructure programs are being placed and they're on the table or they're in the blueprint level or maybe they're breaking ground, they're in construction, I'm not sure at what point the collapse happens, but before they're entirely finished, Tony, we're going to have a collapse. We're going to have mass chaos. So go read my prophetic dream. It's all in there. Chaos occurs when these things are taking place. Now, the exact markers, I am not sure, but I find it interesting that Trump is already talking about infrastructure money and the Paris climate deal. And also my prophetic dream had the ironwork of Paris, and it was infrastructure. So I don't know if they're related, Tony, but I do know this. God gave me this warning that when this thing starts, when it gets going, the chaos that's going to ensue will have people running for the exits, but they will not be able to escape in time. And that's what also occurred in my dream. People tried to flee in their cars, but they all crashed. They tried to go to the left and the right. They crashed, and a lot of people died. So I want it to serve as warning. Trump may be doing great things in the eyes of some people, but when peace and safety is being said, Tony, that's when sudden destruction is going to come, arrive. Now, since Trump is in trouble right now with these hearings, this should also concern all of us, because when the lion is backed into the corner, Tony, that's when they're the most dangerous. And if Trump gives the nod to one of his buddies, you know, one of these mercenary groups, I'm not saying it's Blackwater or DynCorp or Kraft International or one of these others, but when he winks and gives the go-ahead for the diversion, what is the diversion going to be?
And I'm not saying that Donald Trump's going to be involved in the next coming terrorist attack. I'm not saying that. But there is a possibility that he could play a role in it as a diversion. We do know this, Tony. I think we can all agree, and your listeners can all agree, a terrorist attack of humongous proportions is coming to the world. And I foresee that a huge one's going to come to the European allies or our allies in the West with our allies. And it could even be Australia and New Zealand. It could be anywhere. And also one's going to come to America, and they're going to need these events to change the next portion of the narrative to take us to the next chapter of the New World Order plan. And with that, I'll close and end. Tony, we are in very dangerous times. We need to maintain our vigilance.
Yes, and you mentioned the collapse. And I want people to realize that their finances are not safe. If you think you have money safe in banks and things, it isn't. A collapse is coming, and the US dollar will collapse. We may see, all sorts of stuff is going to happen and associated with that. But I just want to say to people, think about that side of it. You know, can you protect yourself at all financially? Because your banks are not going to protect you from it. But I don't want to go too far into that in this show. But perhaps, Nathan, a good way to actually finish would be a prayer for our listeners.
Okay, sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I gave a lot of information and some of it was disturbing. Some of it is hard to hear. But God, I just pray that you would open the eyes and the ears of every listener out there. Let them bear witness with the words that they're hearing. Let them find the truth for themselves. Let them be able to go and confirm that the days are not simple. The days are not here to go to sleep. The days are not here for your people to be apathetic and complacent. But instead, God, the days are here for us to fill our lamps with oil. And Father, I pray that you would challenge the listeners out there to do that, to fill their lamps with oil and let them be vigilant and let them know and be aware that there is more going on than what appears. God, open our eyes, open our ears, and let that be our prayer also, God. Open the listeners' eyes and ears. And God, if there's crust blocking our eyes and crushing our eyes or blocking our ears, God, remove it. Give us eye salve so that we can see, and open our ears so that we can hear your word and your voice. And God, if a terrorist attack is near within days or within weeks of people hearing this, I pray that you would allow us to hear your voice, to know to go to the left or the right, to not go to the location where that's going to take place. God, protect your people. Protect us, God, and show us the importance of living with Psalms 91 under the shelter of your wing. With that, I thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I just want to say thank you that we can come to you and know that you hear our prayer. I pray, Lord, that our audience would know that they can come to you. Lord, if there are any that are unsaved, that are hearing this, that don't know you, I pray, Lord, you would direct them to you, that their hearts would become open to committing themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those that are listening that do know you, I pray that you give us ears to hear, that we wouldn't be deaf, that we wouldn't be blind, but Lord, that we would be open to every word that you speak, that you would direct our listeners, that you direct us in this show to do the things the way you want us to do them, and that we would not miss the mark, but Lord, that you would show us very clearly where you want us to be, what you want us to do, and how we can reach people that you want us to reach. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, Nathan, just to finish off, once again, can you tell our listeners where they find your website? I'm sure they already know it, but just if any of them don't, that would be great.
Yes, it's watchmanscry.com, watchmanscry.com. And thanks for having me on the program, Tony. It's always a blessing. I appreciate it.
And it's been great. So much information in this show, and I've thoroughly, enjoyed it and been engrossed in it, actually. So I want to just say thank you heaps for being on the A Minute to Midnight show again, Nathan, and I'm sure it won't be the last time.
Thank you, brother.
Well, folks, you can find all of our shows on YouTube, on iTunes, and also as audio downloads on our website, which is aminutetomidnight.com. A Minute to Midnight is run by donations, and I want to say thank you to the small group of people that do help us to keep this running. It's much needed and much appreciated. I write, play, and record all the music that's used in our shows, and I've just put out a 15-song compilation of free A Minute to Midnight music, which you can find on our website if you're interested as well. Well, I think that's about it for this episode of the A Minute to Midnight show. Hopefully we'll catch you in another episode in a few days' time. Until then, this is Tony signing off.